Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. This is Fantasy Sports Today Live, and I'm Chris Meaney, riding solo today, but it's not just myself for this show. Of course, DJ, a trainer from RotoWire, is going to drop by. There are 9 games in the association, a rematch, OKC, and a Golden State Warriors, and it did not go Russell Westbrook's way that time, and there's a lot of questionable guys, and we'll talk about just the strategy in DFS, because I know a lot of people, especially on social media, were pretty upset with Kyle Lowry being a last-minute scratch. Plus, Jessica Kleinschmidt's going to drop by. She's from FanRag Sports, also from FanGraphs, covers the Reno Aces, does a lot of baseball work, and we'll talk about just some prospects that we could see to start the season, if they're fantasy relevant or not. We'll get into that in just a little bit, but we'll start the show off with some basketball news, because yesterday we talked a lot about Chris Paul, how x-rays were negative, and he was scheduled for an MRI where it did not go his way, as he has torn ligaments in his left thumb. He's going to need surgery, and he's going to be sidelined 6 to 8 weeks. Fantasy basketball, it's so tough to find assists in fantasy basketball. It's just so hard to come by, and you see there the assist, 9.7, so you're losing a first-round pick off your roster for the next couple months. Where are you going to find assists? The immediate add, of course, is always look to the team and who's going to step up and get the minutes, and it's Austin Rivers who's going to step up and get the majority of the minutes. We talked yesterday, he's a guy that's, flirted with 30 points on a couple occasions, can shoot the three. I'm going to get a lot of minutes, but I think Raymond Felton's going to be the point guard for the Clippers. So if Rivers is not available in your league, then Felton's a decent fallback. TJ McConnell's a guy who's getting a lot of assists lately. We'll talk about him, and he's expected to play tonight dealing with a wrist injury with DJ Trainer. We'll talk about if he's not only a great DFS play, but maybe a good seasonal add as well. But Ben Simmons also coming back. So assists just extremely tough to come by, but hopefully Austin Rivers is available. I think he's a great add. Luol Deng is dealing with a sprained right wrist. Did not play yesterday, and he's actually out indefinitely. This is somebody who's dealt with a wrist injury for the past 3 or 4 years, so keep an eye on that situation. He could be out for a long, long time. He's not worth a roster spot in seasonal formats. Just too much inconsistency from his game. 8 points per game and 5 boards. That's not somebody I want to have on my roster. But look for Brendan Ingram to step up. Yesterday, the Lakers played, and they lost that game, but he had 36 minutes and 50 seconds of floor time. That was the most out of any Laker. Yes, there's a lot of guards there. Williams, Young, Russell, Clarkson, Randall's going to get sprinkled in. A lot of these guys are going to get playing time and take more shots than Brendan Ingram, but he was 6 for 14 in that game yesterday with the fourth most shots taken, 15 points, 5 assists, or 5 boards rather, 4 assists, 3 steals as you see there. Not a bad Tuesday night for him, so he's a good add, especially in keeper and dynasty leagues. I think he's definitely worth a roster spot. Switching over to the ice, Mika Zibanejad, we talked a lot about on Monday on Home Ice Advantage right here on Fantasy Sports Network. As somebody who was possibly returned to Tuesday's game against the Dallas Stars, dealt with a broken fibula. He missed about 2 months. Well, his first game back, he picked up 2 goals, playing on a line with Rick Nash and Pavel Buchnevich, and that line was phenomenal last night. As you just see the stats there, a lot of these guys, a little shout-out to Johnny Harris, calls them the hurt line because they've all been hurt this season. But, I mean, if you look at the games, you don't see the games played for Mika Zibanejad, but he's been fairly productive for a guy who's missed 2 months of action. So last night, Mika Zibanejad, he had 2 goals, 7 shots on goal. Buchnevich had 1 shot on goal, but 3 points. 1 was a goal, and Rick Nash, 2 assists. So they combined for 7 points and 10 shots on goal. I don't love Buchnevich as a pickup, but certainly in a deeper format, 14-team leagues, keeper leagues, dynasty leagues, he needs to be on your radar. I picked him up in a couple spots and another couple leagues. Play a lot of fantasy hockey. I couldn't pick him up. So just keep an eye on this situation. Buchnevich, I think, is a great DFS play, and Zibanejad, I think, is a fantastic seasonal add. Go ahead and grab him. He's owned in fewer than 50% of ESPN and Yahoo leagues. We'll switch over to NFL now. A couple big-time players just rumored to be released, and we'll start with Tony Romo. There's some reports out of Dallas that Romo's just likely to get cut by the Cowboys, dealing with a big cap hit, $24 million per year, a couple years left on the deal. And realistically, this makes sense, because what team is going to want to acquire Tony Romo when really they know that Dallas has really no use for Tony Romo? Dak Prescott, a fantastic season from him. So keep an eye on the situation. It's going to be really interesting. If he goes to Denver, we're going to be talking about Demaryius Thomas a lot. I know I will. There's some good weapons in Denver. Maybe he goes to the Jets. Maybe Brandon Marshall is released from the Jets. There's some reports out in New York. Brandon Marshall will just be cut, has 1 year left on his deal. And really, a disappointing season from Brandon Marshall. A 10-year low with catches, 59, 788 yards, 3 touchdowns, all career lows. This is someone who had 45 touchdowns combined over the previous 4 years. A disappointing season. I won't be drafting him if they don't get a better quarterback in New York, but if we're almost there, Brandon Marshall becomes fantasy irrelevant. And then one more big name, Julius Thomas, expected to get released. He was a big-time free agent a couple years ago and really hasn't done a whole lot in 2 seasons. I know he has had 5 touchdowns in those 2 years, but just he's missed 11 games. He hasn't been the guy that, you know, he was, and of course a lot of that production in Denver had a lot to do with Peyton Manning and the fact that he loves tight ends, but Julius Thomas could get cut. And also there's some reports that the Jaguars may hire Chip Kelly as their offensive coordinator. So Julius Thomas, maybe it won't be bad news if he just gets cut. He won't have to deal with Chip Kelly and all those practices and all those hurry-up offenses that he likes to run. Also, keeping with football, Tom Brady Sr. is going to appear on Fantasy Sports Network today, live at 2 o'clock Eastern Time with Gabe Morenci. You're not going to want to miss that. It's almost a given that Gabe's going to bring up how productive Tom Brady is and how much Tom Brady has just beaten apart his Buffalo Bills over the past few years. That's must-watch TV right here on Fantasy Sports Network. Again, 2 p.m. Eastern. And if you're watching right now, the replay at 5, Game Time Decisions will air again at 5:30. So if you missed the run at 2 o'clock, hopefully you catch it again at 5:30 right here on Fantasy Sports Network. So coming up next, DJ Trainer. There are 9 games in the association. The Raptors are in Philadelphia. Will Kyle Lowry play? Is he a great play? We'll talk about that, plus the Thunder and the Warriors. Stick around right here on Fantasy Sports Today. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today on Fantasy Sports Network. I'm Chris Meany. There are 9 games in the association tonight. We'll bring in DJ Trainer from RotoWire to talk about these games. And DJ, I don't know if you're playing DFS basketball yesterday, but I was doing a show here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network just minutes before the Raptors-Nets game. The news came that Kyle Lowry was going to rest in that game, and not a lot of people had time to change their lineups. In fact, in a couple of mine, he was still highly owned in contests. I don't know if you were burned by him yesterday. The Raptors playing tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's touch on that game and how you feel about Lowry in a good matchup, but also, how important is it lately with these locked lineups? This is something new that DraftKings has done and FanDuel. You can't switch your players out. How important is it for you just to be keeping an eye on this news right up until tip-off, at least the first game of the night?
Yeah, it's incredibly crucial, and last night was the best example of why your eyes have to be locked on breaking news. You insert Corey Joseph into your lineup in place of Kyle Lowry. Not only do you get like $4,000 more to spend, Corey Joseph probably had the best value last night, going off for 33 real points at a salary tag of like upper 3,000s, low $4,000. Where you're looking, he won a lot of people a lot of money last night, but only the people that were watching up into the last second. And you really have to do that night in, night out. It's just part of the process of playing NBA DFS as opposed to NFL, MLB, where you're going to have those lineups are locked in about an hour and a half before game time.
That's why you need to follow you guys. Check out rotowire.com exactly. For all the latest NBA notes. And of course, if you have Fantasy Sports Network, the channel, we have a ticker always giving out some news notes and injuries and some DFS plays. So let's talk about the Raptors, only favored by 5 points tonight, which I thought was a little bit of a surprise. As I mentioned, it's a back-to-back here in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid is questionable. He's dealing with an illness. Not sure if he's going to play, but is Lowry someone you're looking to, especially after yesterday just getting the night off?
Most definitely. I have him in a lot of my lineups tonight. You know, he is from Philadelphia, so he's going to have a hometown crowd tonight. You think he'll definitely be motivated for that. And let's not forget that Philadelphia is really fun to watch, but they're still not that good defensively and not overall as a team, of course, as well. So over the course of 2 games they've already played, he's giving you about 41 DraftKings points, a little lower on FanDuel against those 2 matchups against Philadelphia at a price tag of $8,800 and $8,500. Quite a good value for somebody who is pretty cheap considering the other options on the slate tonight. 9 games, of course.
West Philadelphia, born and raised. Yeah, he's probably going to bring it tonight for sure. 76ers have been playing better basketball lately, though, so maybe that's why that spread is so low right now. But if no Embiid, I'm sure it's going to rise. This is the game everybody wants to talk about. Usually we would lead with this, DJ, but OKC, Warriors going back at it. And the first game did not go well for Russell Westbrook, who we know is averaging a triple-double. 20 of them so far on the season. Only 20 points in that game, 6 turnovers, 6 boards, did have 10 assists, so the double-double was in effect, but it was Kevin Durant who really just took it to his old team. 39 points at 7 boards. It was a 122-96 final, and this is the highest total on the night, 229.5. Are you going to stack some players from this game?
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to, especially if you're willing to pay up and you have the money to pay up. You're probably going to be looking at that game because there's so many elite options. I'm going to be gravitating towards Kevin Durant. He's going to be emotionally charged. And of course, he put up a great performance last time out against OKC, about 49 FanDuel points against OKC. 10,400 on FanDuel. He's a little more easy to grab on DraftKings, $9,900. I don't really care the price. I think he's going to be the top scorer tonight. So I'll actually take him over Westbrook. I'll take him over Harden tonight. Kevin Durant is going to be locked into almost every single one of my lineups.
And DJ, what do you make of Reggie Jackson? It's so hard to find assists, especially in seasonal formats. If you're losing those assist categories, it's almost impossible to find them on the waiver wire. Now, Chris Paul just went out. We talked a lot off the top of the show about Austin Rivers. What I noticed about Reggie Jackson is his usage rate is off the charts, top 20 in the NBA. He's getting it done in those categories. But the assists, I find, are a little low for him. What do you make of him, and how do you feel about him tonight?
Well, his mentality is shoot first, put the team on my back by scoring, not by facilitating. So for a point guard eligible player, if he's in your lineup, you're not quite getting that assist boost that you'd like. Tonight, I really like him, though. He's going up against Atlanta. So far this year, Atlanta has been one of the worst teams in defending point guards. They're giving up the fourth most fantasy points to point guards this season. Now, what's kind of funny is that Reggie Jackson has been pretty cold this year, only $6,300 on FanDuel, 25, 10, and 19 FanDuel points over his last 3. But you know what? I actually kind of like that because I think people will stay away. But I'll take Reggie Jackson and the low ownership rates. If he's going to break out at any point this year, it's going to be against a team like Atlanta, who's just very bad at defending point guards.
Very, very bad at the defending point guards, for sure. And that's one thing I like about RotoWorld. And if people are not familiar, you go to the site, you can look at just fantasy points against per position, the last 10 games, last 5 games on the season as well. And what I like is the 10 games, because sometimes players are questionable, they're in and out of the lineup, and usually you can find value and just exploit matchups. And let's talk about some guys who are questionable. Steven Adams with a concussion. We have Noah Porzingis, also questionable. Is there any value you're seeing tonight with some guys who may not play?
Yeah, definitely. So let's stick with the game of the night and look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. So Steven Adams, you mentioned, I believe he's been ruled out with that concussion. Jeremy Grant stepped into the lineup last time out against the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm expecting him to do more of the same tonight as well. He's definitely going to be a value play because he's $3,600 on FanDuel, $100 more on DraftKings, 24 points in the starting lineup last Monday against the Clippers. So if you do want to fit in a Russell Westbrook or a James Harden into your lineup, you certainly need to be looking at players like Grant.
Are there any other forwards that you're feeling that are just underpriced tonight that could, you know, produce big minutes?
Yeah, so you mentioned the defensive versus position stats on RotoWire, and if you look at power forwards, you're going to see that the Trailblazers are the worst team in the league at defending power forwards. Frank Kaminsky is a power forward, and he happens to be very cheap tonight, so I think that he's another good value play, $3,700 and $3,600 on DraftKings. Like I said, Portland gives up the most points to power forwards. Now, it's a bit of a shot in the dark, I'll admit, but because Portland is so bad, you have to think that they might utilize Frank because he can post up and he can stretch the court. So I'll be rolling with him in my lineups where I do try to attempt to insert Russell Westbrook or James Harden.
DJ, we got to get out of here, but did you own Chris Paul in any of your seasonal formats?
Yes, and I'm dead in the water.
What are you going to do? Is there a point guard quickly that you could maybe McConnell? I know we talked about Austin Rivers, yep. Raymond Felton. Is there somebody that you would grab to get some assists?
TJ McConnell is the hot guy off the waiver wire. Assists are hard to find. He probably has the most on the waiver wire currently. TJ McConnell is my guy.
Yeah, and he's expected to play tonight against the Raptors, dealing with a wrist injury. DJ, we always appreciate your time. From RotoWire, take care, man. Enjoy the basketball tonight.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, Jessica Kleinschmidt's in here next. We talked a lot on this network about Hunter Renfro. We're going to talk a lot more about Hunter Renfro. Stick around. More baseball talk with Kleinschmidt next on Fantasy Sports Today. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today right here on Fantasy Sports Network. I'm Chris Meany. Let's switch gears from the hard court to the diamond. It's never too early to talk some baseball. Let's bring in Jessica Kleinsmith. Jessica, you have many hats and many accomplishments. We want to congratulate you being with FanGraphs, but of course with FanRag Sports. And you recently wrote an article about Hunter Renfroe. And you were on this network before last season when we were talking about Hunter Renfroe. Will he come up in September? And we saw a little bit of him, Jessica. 11 games, 4 homers, a 371 average. I know it's a small sample size, but he really tore the cover off the baseball in the PCL League. What do you expect from him? And you see there, the article, what can be expected from Hunter Renfroe? Everybody wants to know, what can we expect from him this year?
Quite a bit. Luckily for him, as far as the right field position goes, I'm not too worried about him getting that starting job in 2017. He's going to be up there before Jabari Blash. Don't get me wrong, Jabari Blash is quite a stellar athlete, but when it comes down to it, the performance last year between both of them, it just went to Hunter Renfroe. The guy is just dripping with power. We mentioned it. I was worried about the transition from the PCL to the actual bigs, but he made it look so wonderful, you know, just making it act like it wasn't a big deal at all. We all know that in the PCL, anyone can hit well. But when he actually went to play for the Padres, you mentioned those 4 bombs, he actually hit a home run over the Western Supply Company sign, which has never been done in a live game. So he, in and of itself, has that power. I'm a little hesitant. A lot of people are putting a lot of pressure on him to be the National League Rookie of the Year, but he's also in the same, you know, category with, you know, Lucas Giolito, Tyler Glasnow, and then, of course, Dansby Swanson, who's more of a tool player. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what he does. But as far as a fantasy guy, he's one of my top power hitters for sure.
Mark Trumbo hit a couple over there in the home run derby we saw. Hey, what do you make of this Padres team? And I feel like they'll give him a chance because, I mean, a couple years ago they went in and they acquired some big names, and all of those big names seem to be out of the lineup. Will Myers is like their vet. He's going to turn 27 in a couple months. What do you make? You feel like they'll just give some of their younger players just the opportunity to see what they have?
At this point, anything can happen. And I think they're, I don't want to call them desperate, but they do have a pretty solid, you know, lower, you know, minor league system. So it's definitely something to take a look at. Because when they did make some promotions last year, they actually, all the guys who did get promoted did relatively well. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. They're, of course, rebuilding, if you will. And we know Will Myers did sign that extension. And I love Will Myers. He is kind of an up and down player. I think Will Myers actually won that extension over the team. There's definitely a bright future for a lot of those guys. I'm hoping it does well for that area. The Padres really need it. So it's a lot to be continued as far as that team is concerned.
Yeah, surprise season, really. I mean, I don't want to say surprise because Will Myers has a ton of talent, but 28 stolen bases and 28 home runs was a bit of a surprise from him. Very, very, very productive season. Let's switch gears. Right. One of the biggest moves in the offseason was Chris Sale changing his colored socks from white to red. Johan Moncada gone. He's now with the White Sox, a big-time prospect. And a couple people in Chicago feel like he'll start the season in the minors. Do you feel that way?
I actually do, and it's not necessarily saying that he's a bad player, obviously, because he knows he was Sale, and he understands the situation. He knows the expectations are high, and he did have a small sample size when he did play up with the Red Sox. Oh, just a few, like 20 plate appearances, didn't do too well, but he understands, you know, the expectations he has. But when he was with Double A, before he got promoted, he was just killing the ball. 294, 45 stolen bases, just really, a lot of people are saying, you know, he's only going to start in the minors, but that doesn't mean he's a bad player. I think he just needs a little bit more time as far as that goes down there. And, you know, pitchers know what to throw to him, you know, those they're finishing off with that pitch that's lower underneath the hands inside, so pitchers are aware what to throw to him. The guy's a freak athlete, and of course you have Brett Laurie ahead of him. Even though he is a natural athlete when it comes to the third base position, that's obviously going to go towards Todd Frazier, but I could see him giving Brett Laurie some days off and being that second baseman, which if you look at the fantasy aspect, you know, last year second basemen were all about power, surprisingly. So don't, you know, deter yourself away if he does start in the minors. Definitely a season-long guy for me, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like he's worth the draft spot. Not going to cost you a lot. Certainly in keeper leagues, maybe a little bit higher, but somebody that is worth stashing. I was a little bit surprised to hear him, but I assume like Brett Laurie maybe dealt, or maybe he can't hang on to that position. Do you feel like the White Sox, I almost feel like maybe they'll deal a couple guys too and kind of feel like maybe they'll be the Padres at another rebuilding team?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the, you know, that's always like who won the trade with the prospects getting for the bigger names. It has to do, you know, Shelby Miller and Dansby Swanson, that scenario. Same thing when it came to the White Sox. I mean, you get a lot of, you know, confidence when you get somebody like Yoan Moncada, who I just adore in and of itself. And it could be a rebuilding process for them, but they were rather surprising last season, of course, at the beginning, both Chicago teams where you were kind of like, all right, good for them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this year, but there's definitely a lot of confidence heading into 2017, and whether that means the playing ability or actually, you know, trading in and of itself, because you do need a lot of confidence to make some of those moves, and they had it, being able to get rid of Chris Sale like they did.
We got a Red Sox fan behind one of the cameras, and he's telling me all year Moncada reminds him of Robinson Cano, and now it's like, well, now that he's not there, maybe it's not Robinson Cano so much, but certainly a ton of
good
talent.
Comp. I like that comp. That's a good comparison.
Oh, it's a good comparison. Fair enough. He's like, yeah, that's right. Okay, let's go. Brent Honeywell. You and I talked about Brent Honeywell a little bit, and I had asked you before if you feel like he can crack the Rays rotation. There's some names here, and I feel like there might be some movement if he's going to crack the rotation. Archer, Odorizzi, Cobb, Snell, Andrees. But we know that he moved across like almost every single level in 2016, but has yet to play AAA ball. What do you expect from him this season? And do you think we'll see him maybe in April, or maybe will it be June or July?
I think he's more of a June, July kind of promotion type of deal. And I think the reason why is, like you mentioned, it's that pecking order. And I quote that, not saying that he's, you know, a bad pitcher at all, but I do think he still needs a little bit more time in AAA. And when I did speak to him recently, he even mentioned, yeah, you know, talking about Durham, because he is kind of mentally preparing to be in AAA. And I even asked him, you know, there are some guys and girls that have been writing about you saying that you could be up for a Rookie of the Year nomination. And he kind of, you know, blushed and pretended like it was like, you know, I'm very humbled, but acting, you know, that's the stuff he lives for. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what he does. But you mentioned some big names, so it's definitely going to be interesting as far as that. He's not going to be up there quite quickly. If he does get up there at all, I could see it, you know, quick promotion, see how he does, just kind of give him a taste of it. It's a really strong organization in regards to pitching in and of itself. So for him to get promoted, it's like an injury might have to happen, or, you know, he really has to do solid. So he was part of the Fall Stars as far as the AFL goes, and almost made MVP, kind of lost it to Willie Calhoun, but that's not somebody that you need to worry about. He has that screwball that if you watch it, you're going to need a cold shower afterwards. The thing is beautiful. It's a wonderful, you know, people, you know, Hector Santiago and, you know, Alfredo Simon have it, but they use it like 1% at the time, less than 1% at the time. So he's definitely a unique pitcher. It's a lot of scouts are saying that that's his best off-speed pitch, but I spoke to him recently and he's not doing anything too crazy to prepare him for this season, but he's definitely excited for this opportunity, especially because his name is out there. He is in Rookie of the Year nominations, and he's very humbled by that.
Yeah, you mentioned that pitch. If you haven't, I mean, why not use it? Just so impressive to see him go through all the levels. Rookie ball, then single A, 56 innings pitch, 10K per nine, fewer than two walks per nine, and then double A, 59 innings pitch, 8K per nine, two walks per nine. Just impressive numbers. We only got about a minute left. I want to kind of just stick with this Rays team for a second. Do you think that Chris Archer, I know his name has been rumored to be moved on, and you mentioned the Rays and just the talent that they produced from this position. I mean, they've been dealing guys in the past few years, top tier talent. What do you make of Archer? He kind of struggled last season, only about 30 seconds, Jessica. Do you think that he'll be gone from Tampa Bay this year?
It's yes and no for me. He really loves that community, so it's really going to be hard for him to leave. I actually had him as a Cy Young Award winner last year, predicting going into it. There's a lot of pressure on him this year. It was really rough for him starting out, so I think he knows what he needs to work on. Sky's the limit for him, just a great guy. I think he's going to go out there and work really hard, whether it's with the Rays or with another organization.
Jessica, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I know you're just anxious about baseball, so we'll get you on before the season starts.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Jessica Kleinschmidt right there from FanGraphs and FanRag Sports. Check out all her work there and follow her on Twitter. She's a great follow. A shout out to DJ Trainer as well. He's from RotoWire, not RotoWorld, RotoWire. Check out that site. They got a lot of great stats and get you over the edge. I'm Chris Meany. Pick up Mika Zibanejad in your fantasy hockey seasonal formats, and we'll see you later. Don't forget, Tom Brady Sr. today, 2 o'clock Eastern on Fantasy Sports Network.